I think what we'll do is we'll have a commercial and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about the cost of the trail.
Sounds good.
All right. I just said that because I looked at the
I
time.
know it's one and we're only halfway through.
Yeah. I'm like, I talk too much, don't I?
Every single little sentence you exaggerate on. Every single one. There's not one single one where you've just read it word for word. It could be 5 words and you still go on.
Yeah,
Yes.
daddy likes to
We know.
talk.
Just stick to the script.
I guess so. Shit, we gotta. Where's the animals? And then I'm like, cost of the trail. So what are we like? Let's say the other one's a half hour. We're probably at like an hour.
We're over an hour.
It's like no one's gonna listen to it.
So long.
They're gonna. The first one was like, hey, listen to the first one for 20 minutes. Then it's like, listen to the other one for 4 hours.
Welcome to our podcast, A Long Walk North. A father and daughter hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. Today's episode is brought to you by Triple Crown Coffee, Purple Rain Adventure Skirts, and Mountain Equipment Co-op. Welcome to the podcast, A Long Walk North. I'm Dan DeVoe, and with me is my daughter, Chantel. This is the podcast that will cover the planning and preparation of our northbound hike of the Pacific Crest Trail that we set out to complete in the spring of 2023. Leading up to the trip, we're going to talk about our goals, fears, and plans for the hike. We'll also talk with people who plan on doing the hike just like us, people who are scheduled to do it this year, and also people that have already completed the PCT. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the money of the trail, the cost, how much we're projecting it to cost for us, ways to save, ways that we're trying to save for the trip, and also dive into a little bit about our fears and dangers on the trail. You can find this episode and past episodes on our website, hikethepct.ca, along with a link that's going to allow you to leave a voice message for us with any questions or feedback. We look forward to hearing from you and answering your questions on this podcast in a future episode.
Charging down those craggy mountains with our thrift store friends, who you find so in love with the fallen earth. Oh, you wake in the middle of the fallen night with the summer playing coy.
Lola.
Hello. Is this the daughter?
This is.
All right. Is it late at night?
11:20.
All right. Well, let's get started then.
Let's do it.
All right. So before I introduce Chantel, I just want to say, you know, obviously thank you for the words and comments on the podcast so far. Obviously, this little basement podcast is getting a little bit more smoother as we get used to this. It definitely would be a lot better to have my daughter beside me recording this. We're using Anchor like we have on the other episodes to record this. And then we're going to use Audacity to do some editing. And the YouTubes is actually teaching me how to use Audacity. Okay, let's introduce little Shorty, who is home from work. I'm not sure if you worked today or...
I didn't. Today was my day off.
Yeah, you're kind of, you're secretive of your schedule. It's hard to pin you down. I think the moment it got really hard to pin you down is on Snapchat when you stop sharing like the little cartoon person of where you are in the world. Then I didn't know where the hell you were.
That was a while ago.
That was a while ago. And like I said, it's like, hey, you know, and I send you a text and it just says delivered. It never says read. It just says delivered. No one
has their red receipts on.
No, I know. You guys are like secretive. And if anyone is trying to click on your Instagram, it's deactivated. But she probably has a burner, a second spam. It's like once daddy finds out what the spam is, there's another one, right?
No.
Well, hopefully you turn on the Instagram because I'm sure people want to like.
I will eventually.
Look at your six pictures.
I'll do it in the summer.
Okay. Coming at me. Hey, all right. Yeah, don't hang up. How you feeling? What's new? What are the kids listening today in the world?
I'm doing good. I'm chilling like a villain again. I'm in the process of redoing my whole room, so I'm super excited for that. But I'm also super, super busy. And honestly, I don't know what the kids are listening to. I think it's all like TikTok songs, like whatever goes viral on TikTok. That's the only thing I hear. But
and then the moms. Oh, yeah. You know, you drive in the moms in the cars and they hear these songs, but they don't know they're on TikTok. Oh, yeah,
they have no idea. But I'm seeing a Migos concert tomorrow, like a virtual concert. Oh, so I'm so hyped.
Oh, virtual. Okay. Yeah, yeah. That is pretty cool. How much were tickets?
I'm not sure. My friend got them.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
They make little noises. Isn't there like four of them? And there's always one guy in the back going, ba, ba, ba.
Yeah, there's three of them. They're so funny. But what's good with you? Have you gone to the gym lately? That's my biggest question. No.
You know what? Even I'll be honest with you. Is I posted my weight on the blog. Uh-huh. And I got this scale from Amazon, and you have to have bare feet. You step on it, and it gives you all these, like, you know, percentage of how much cheese you are or, like, chips. You know, it's got all these, like, stats.
You're like...
And I've gained weight. Like, since I've done that blog post, and it's like, okay, I'm going down now. I'm going to go down now. I've gained a couple pounds.
Yeah.
So, no, the gym's not open. I walk the dog and stuff. That's my little side hustle, but... I've been doing yoga.
Have you?
Yoga on YouTube. We'll talk about that in a future episode. It's kind of cool. I fell in love with this girl's voice.
God.
She's very soothing. So it's like yoga for beginners. It's like a 30-day thing. Mm-hmm. And then...
Have you been doing it consistently?
Do it every day. Okay, that's good. Yeah. Good job. But it's hard. I mean, I can't... You know, I can't touch my toes and stuff. But it's like, oh, if I do it every day, I will get better. Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
What, you have like 600 days to get better and touch your toes.
Oh, we got more than that. We got like, we're probably at 783.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, let's get started because as people heard at the beginning, right? At the beginning of the intro, this is part two.
Yes.
When we were recording episode two, it was like 1 a.m. and we were just halfway through it.
Oh, yeah.
But let's get started, I guess. You start off.
So in the last episode, we talked about the history of the trail and the landscape of the five sections. We talked about the speed to hike it and some of the logistics that goes along with the attempt. It was such a big topic. We decided to obviously like take a break into the two podcasts because you...
Absolutely. Because you didn't want to do more.
Like, I mean, it was one at the end of the
show. When we kind of stopped like officially recording, we were chit-chatting. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to, because Anchor lets you record for 45 minute sessions, yeah. Right? So we were on our second 45 minute section. I'm like, okay, I'm going to call you back. We're going to do three. And you're like, let's just do it tomorrow. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
And I'm like, no, I have you. I have you on the phone. Oh, yeah. Like, we need to.
No, if I stayed on the phone, we would have done it till 6 a.m. We would have pushed through 9 episodes. I already know it.
Okay, but you know what, though? You said, let's do it tomorrow. And, you know, that was probably like 8 days ago, right? So that's my dilemma. That's my side of my universe.
Chatty Cathy, you ready to get started where we left off on episode 2?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so let's talk about the payola needed to attempt this trip.
Hey, that's an important topic.
Yes.
Any parent would say, you know, money doesn't grow on trees.
Isn't it plastic?
I mean, now it is. I don't even know what it's made out of. But before, and I don't even know if you know this, it used to, like money, like bills, dollar bills, y'all, they used to be paper.
Well, I mean, you are always on my ass to save up for the trip and telling me how many days we have left to save. Like, you tell me things like I need to save $8.14 per day, and then it increases to $8.64 per day.
I know, we're not saving enough. So then with the days go closer, it goes higher. And you know what? I think it's at $9.26 per day needed. So great.
That's what that means. Cool. Well, why don't you tell them how we save?
I guess before we talk about how we save, we should talk more in general, the money needed to do the trail. And then later we can dip into our situation.
Okay. So how much does it cost to do the PCT?
It's hard, you know, look, if you think grazing on chicken powder flavored ramen, you know, in the wilderness with no electricity sounds like a cheap way to spend 5-6 months, you're widely mistaken. Mm-hmm. On the trail, I guess the biggest expense would be fueling the body. We probably need 4,000 calories per day. Off trail, the comfort expenses would be a real bed in town, you know, compared to living our life now, you know, getting overpriced coffee at Starbucks in our day-to-day lives. You know, cutting down both of those will save money in your life. Like, okay, you know, what's your drink of choice at the Bucks?
My favorite is a venti iced caramel macchiato with sweet cream foam and extra caramel drizzle. What do old people drink at Starbucks?
I'm not that old, but I'm just like, and you know, I like those drinks, yeah, especially at Christmas time, gingerbread lattes and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I'm cheaper, right? So I like a bucket of coffee. I get the venti, and you know, venti dark roast. I'll get venti anything, triple with cream, since I just need a little bit of
that
help.
That sounds like dirt.
Sometimes it is. Starbucks, you know, gives you a jolt.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy how much people are willing to spend on coffee to make the man rich. I mean, how much does the average hiker need to fuel the trail?
The average cost of a PCT through hike, including, you know, gear, food, resupplying, and then, you know, the other end-to-end trail expenses, could be about $4,000 to $6,000 US per person for an average through hike, because a lot of the things you see online is US dollars. Mm-hmm. That said, you know, it's not uncommon to hear stories of some people spending close to 10 grand US.
Wow.
You know, with this being a trip of a lifetime for someone, you know, you don't want to add the pressure of financial stress to make the trip more difficult. So, you know, it's better to save up. See, if you plan and budget ahead of your trip, you can avoid becoming that $10,000 story. You know, we might be that story with our expenses being, you know, in Canadian dollars, our Canadian dollar bills being weaker to the US dollar. You know, if we end up being that $10,000 hiker, it's going to cost us close to 13 grand Canadian. Hopefully Prime Minister Timothy Horton can change things.
Get out of here.
But, you know, keep in mind, too, that we're also losing 5 to 6 months of income, you know, from not working. Everybody has a different situation, with some people renting, some people owning homes, some people living under their parents' roofs. You know, being away for 6 months, some people might have that flexibility and some people don't. And they have to keep paying their regular bills for that time period. So it is a good plan to make sure that you have enough saved up so you can, you know, re-enter civilization and start paying bills again when you come home. In the 2019 Halfway Anywhere survey, and that's where we're getting some of our information from, we've been quoting from. Basically, the average hike that people reported in 2019 was $6,651 US. That's about 8,600 Canadian. That breaks down to about 39 US dollars per day, which is sort of like 51 Canadian dollars per day. 26% of those 2019 hikers, they kind of wish that they saved a little bit more money before hiking. Some people that when they plan to do this trip, they're kind of like a year away. We have some time. But on top of that, you know, what do people do with their jobs? You know, will they be allowed to take that time off unpaid? Do they have to quit their jobs? Can they take a leave from work and return to their position after the hike? I was chit-chatting with someone today. Her name's Christina. She's from Ottawa. and she's going to be hiking in our year. You know, she was going to send an email to her boss, and she was like really scared to do so because, you know, what is the boss going to say? And she was really, really nervous. And then during the conversation, you know what? She sent it. And she's relieved that she did. Obviously, you know, when people, that whole leaving work, that could be another financial stressor upon return, depending on the outcome. So, you know, Chantel, why don't you talk about, you know, one of the biggest expenses on the trail?
Yeah, the biggest trail expense would be like what you put into the pie hole to keep the furnace on and your body moving, which would be food, which could run you $2,000 to $3,000, like US dollars. This category includes the cost of food, the cost of shipping resupply boxes. Most hikers report spending an average of $10 a day on food, but some spend more.
It seems small.
Yeah, it seems but it adds up. But this averages to approximately $300 a month on trail food. So the total cost of the trail expenses for most hikers is about $2,000.
Okay, and that's on trail food, yeah. Right? That's not the food, like, you know, mm-hmm. burgers and stuff. I mean, and also a good tip too is, you know, when you get off trail, you get into town, there's hiker boxes. Hiker boxes are like little boxes that people put their extra stuff. Sometimes, you know, their gear, they're like, their pack's heavy and they're like, you know what? I don't need two pairs of leggings. And they put a pair of leggings in there. And maybe somebody might be cold at night and they can pick up stuff. But a lot of people, you know, if they buy a bottle of shampoo, you know, they might take a bottle and then fill up four hikers' little tiny bottles, and then there's some left over, and they just... So when you go and raid those little hiker boxes, sometimes you find food in there, because, you know, people might buy a box of something, but they only want 60% of it, and they leave mm-hmm. some behind. And also, when you're in town and you're with your little tramly or other hikers, you can share food. You know, so if you're buying a, you know, instead of buying individually a couple power bars each, buy a box of them, split it in half with someone, and divvy them out. It's just cheaper. I mean, look, it's nice to eat out. We will eat out, you know, don't get us wrong, but in one way, try not to eat out as much. Some people do resupply boxes, and when they get that resupply box, some of that snacks inside that box is for their day in town. If you do, you know, if it's one of those where you're going to take a zero, sleep overnight in a nice comfy bed, and you get a little motel with a kitchenette, sure, buy some food to cook a big amount, make a huge, huge pot of pasta. You know, we might have four hikers in our room, so we could all chip in our money and have this big pickup. What's another one that will surely cost me every 3 to 5 days on trail?
That would be town time expenses, which could run you
town time.
But it could, like, run you $50 to $100 a day. Like, time spent in towns that you pass through along the way will be the most expensive part of your trip. Yeah, like, every time a member of your tramly suggests some expensive town escapade, you're faced with the choice, go along with the fun and watch your limited financial resources dwindle, or stay behind feeling lonely and sad while all your friends go out to eat for a good time without you.
Yeah. I'm so lonely.
Yeah, bottom line, it sucks to be the brokest hiker in the group.
I don't want to be that person. You know, don't forget to seek out cheaper options when staying in town. Check the Gut Hooks app, which is great. Hikers will leave notes on, you know, deals where they stayed, prices. You can always check shared accommodations on Airbnb. Sometimes there's trail angels and you might get lucky that you can stay with them. God bless their heart and all that stuff.
I mean, you could skip the towns altogether, but the temptation of sleeping in a hotel, eating at restaurants, sampling the local beers, and using like an actual toilet will be so hard to resist.
And lastly would be the cost of gear. I mean, which depends on which gear you might have. I mean, some people have gear already. In that 2019 survey, the average hiker spent about 1400 US on gear, which is like 1780 Canadian. That seems low to me. We've spent a lot of money on gear. But, you know, maybe people already have some sort of quality camping gear already. Some of those people that were in the survey and they've hiked before, they're campers. You know, 30% of the hikers in the survey wish they got lighter gear. So I say, you know, and other people would say the same thing, invest in quality gear, you know, top quality. Doesn't have to be, you know, top price. Most people focus on comfort,
which makes sense. If you get a crappy sleep, I'm sure it'll be hard to get your ass in gear and get the miles in needed.
Exactly.
If you snore, I will do stuff to you. Don't be surprised if you find rocks in your backpack and like sticks and things in your sleeping bag at night.
You're gonna be a fun little camper buddy. Remember, what you do to me could come back and haunt you. I mean, gear is expensive. The comfort of having the right backpack for you to carry the load, or your tent that provides you the daily shelter, and the sleeping system that you put your little stinky little self into each night. Most people will research and find the best system that works for them. You know, finding the clothes at thrift shops, that can help you lower expenses. You know, instead of getting like off the rack stuff at full price or a little bit on sale, you might be able to borrow some gear too.
Or even like buying used gear on Facebook Marketplace might be a good way to score some deals.
Yeah. Maybe join some other Facebook groups that are focused on local backpacking. You know, in the US, you know, they have these things called like the REI garage sale. So, you know, go after that. Like, you know, for us, we've spent a whack on gear already.
You have spent a whack on clothes for you already. Don't get it twisted.
Well, yeah. I mean, I went a little nuts on websites, and when I was buying stuff, I had room on the credit card, you know, Black Friday deals. I mean, I had to buy a poop shovel and I had to buy a cook system. You know, we bought our bear hot pocket, you know, yes, as we call it, because we obviously want a tent. I bought the stuff for, you know, we want to test it out this spring. Go up to Tobermory, yes, like we said, Algonquin. So we picked up Chantel's sleeping bag, which was, well, I got a good deal on it. I didn't get one. I'm still kind of, you know, waiting to lose some weight before getting mine. Right. But it was hard to pass up some Black Friday deals. You know, bigger gear stuff that we need to buy. We each need to get two backpacks. I guess we have backpacks, but we're going to weigh them and they're probably not the best for a through hike. I got to get my sleeping bag like I just talked about and some other little stuff to add up. Pretty much I've gotten all my clothes and that's kind of where I've spent some money. Chantel needs to decide if she's going to be, you know, what she's going to bring. Is she going to use some of the clothes that she has already? Or, you know, is she going to go follow her dad and buy a bunch of new stuff online?
I might go on a shopping spree.
But, I mean, how to save money? Don't skimp on gear and resupply. Try to buy the right gear that you'll need. You know, you don't want to buy a sleeping bag only to find out that you need a warmer one. And then you have to go and buy a second one to fill that gap. Try to buy the right, you know, the right gear once. Also, the selection and cost of the gear in the United States is incredible compared to the selection and quality and cost of the gear found in Canada. So people down south have definitely an advantage. You know, I've found some great deals on, there's a website called The Last Hunt that had a lot of stuff at 50 to 70% off. Plus they offer this thing called like Seasal, which I took advantage of. You know, you sort of like qualify, you get free shipping, obviously, because a lot of companies free shipping if you buy a certain amount. Seasal will break down the purchase into four payments over a 2-month period at 0% interest. So, you know, when we bought our Puffies, you know, if it was like a $400 Puffy, that purchase was $100 and broken down over 2 months. So every 2 weeks, you know, it was like four payments of $100. I also use Valhalla. I don't know if I said that right, but that website wasn't too bad when the sales were going on. Sale.ca, it was okay. I mean, if you get something on sale and you get lucky, got our Garmin InReach from there. They have sort of a seasonal option. It's called PayBright, same kind of thing. I actually also picked up a Triangle credit card. So if I found stuff on sale, like at Atmosphere, which is like a division of Sport Check. But anyways, buying, like we bought our tent from Atmosphere because it was actually a pretty good deal, but with putting it on that credit card, it broke it down over 2 years. So every month we just pay $21 and that's interest free for our tent.
To save money, just try and resist going to every town.
The burgers. Unless you and your, like, you know, unless our whole entire tramley are disciplined and a little bit frugal, spending in town, yeah, it does become costly, but it can be so much fun. I mean, it only takes one, like you said, it only takes one spontaneous friend to lead your group down this regrettable path of frivolous spending.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you might be that person always wanting to stop and taste the restaurant's burger.
Burgers. You know, I'm a sucker for eating out. It's kind of like that reward. You know, I just might be that devil on everyone's shoulder poking everyone in the ear to stop, just to push another burger down. You know, after
you and burgers,
you know,
you guys got a love relationship.
I love a good burger. So Paradise Cafe is supposed to have some of the best burgers on the PCT, and it feels like it's going to take us a month to get there. Also, sleeping outside of town will help save a motel room. When trying to plan the first 2 months in the desert, that's what I did. So if we think we're going to get into town late one afternoon, instead of going in, we can actually just camp outside of town on the trail, save some money. Early the next morning, pack up, just cruise right in just for the day. You know, for those one day pop in town days. After we do our business and errands in town, we can get back on trail. If we're not going to be spending the night, we'll get back on trail, sleep in our tent, and save on getting a room. Sure. Hey, don't get us wrong. We are going to have some plan zeros. We're going to have double zeros. We're going to treat ourselves in places like Idlewild and Big Bear.
We might get lucky and find some great places to stay. I need to meet Mayor Max the dog. I want to get a photo with him. How cool is that?
Oh, really cool. Yeah, like I have his phone number. I put it in Evernote and you can call him. But usually he's in the center of town and he's got two little deputy puppy dogs. And he wears a tie and he's got a hat and he's the mayor. I think he's been the mayor for about seven or eight years or something. Yeah, you got to get a picture with Mayor Max. Back to talking about town days and being in town. Like, trust me, I've said this before, it's nice to have a long shower, a nice sleep in a real bed, but trying to cut costs on that, you could split the room with other hikers. There's two of us, you know, if we connect with even just like two single other hikers, that's splitting the room into four. That might bring the cost down to a room, $25-$35 per person each night. When you split it by four, with us being Canadian, with our dollar weaker, makes sense. It is a little bit harder for us. So when we get a room, it's definitely going to be planned out. It's going to be a double zero day where we can utilize that room for as long as possible and get our monies out of it. So Chantel, obviously I'm making you study how much the trip will cost. Yes. You know, so hopefully you can understand the significance of saving up, since we have to save, you know, we have to save enough. You know, we just can't run out of money and be forced to end the trip early. So why don't you tell everyone more of the numbers about how much we're expecting our trip might be?
Yes. So our early estimates that our trip will cost a little over $22,000 for the both of us. It's better to be safe than sorry. Like, running out of money on the trail would be absolutely horrible. But outside of the remaining gear for us to buy is flights to and from the trail. Hopefully we can get a good deal on a one-way flight to Los Angeles, making our way south to San Diego. And then coming home, maybe we can get a deal from Vancouver back to Toronto. Once the trip is over, it would also be nice to have like a little cash to the side for a trip in Vancouver Whistler. That would be really cool. And then maybe we can rent a car and drive to see Banff in Alberta.
Oh, absolutely. Because even though I guess we're going to be walking through mountains and we're going to see, you know, majestic stuff. Yeah. If we're there, I don't know, I think it's maybe like a 10-hour car ride through the mountains, which would be kind of cool. Oh,
that would be so cool.
I mean, we won't be stinky. We'll have showers. We'll go.
Oh, yes.
You know, my friend Kara's in Vancouver, so hopefully she's still living there and we can camp on her floor or whatever. Yeah. And
yeah, that would be cool. And
we definitely got to rent a car and head out there.
So a breakdown of our projected expenses is found on our website, and they'll change over the next 8 months as we plan out approximately how many days we expect to hike it and then where we'll stop for town time.
That should be a new thing.
Oh, yes. But here's a summary of our projected costs as a quick summary. The flights are expecting to cost $1,000. On-trail projected food expenses is $3,000 for the both of us. In-town accommodations is $2,500. Stove fuel would be around $300. Postage for resupply boxes and mailing costs would be around $600. In-town restaurants would be around 1,500. In-town drinks would be 300. Laundry and showers.
That might be.
What were you saying?
That may be low. Yeah. I mean, whatever.
Well,
like, we'll make changes. Like, yeah. You know, $150. I mean, yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Well, whatever. It's not going to be drink fest, but gotta have some drinks.
It could be drink fest. But laundry and showers would be around $300. Subscriptions to Garmin, Guthook, and others would be around $450. Gear already purchased, we spent around $6,397.
That's a lot.
Pre-trip gear that still has to buy is hopefully just $1,000 more. New gear on the trip to buy, like clothes and socks, would be around $450. And then new gear on the trip to buy, like new shoes, would be $1,200.
Yeah. And so, you know, when we started planning this trip, we were like 1,100 days away, giving us plenty of time, you know, to buy gear over time, look for deals, save money. The days have dropped to 1,000 days away. And then I know. Then down to 900. And now we're crossing into the 700s, the high 700s. We're probably around 783, something. I think that's the number I always say. To reach our goal, we have to save, well, we kind of said this before, mm-hmm. but about $9 a day to get our $20,000 goal or $22,000 goal.
But as stated above, we'll probably spend over $1,000 on shoes since we both will need like 4 to 5 pairs to last us. And let's say we always get a deal on them for about $100. That's still over $1,000 that we have to pay. But we set up a Patreon platform where friends and family can help support us for $1, $3 per month, or even more.
These tiers go and help, you know, pay for the cost of Chantel's shoes, the cost of her sleeping bag, which is in the $700 range. Since her DQ money doesn't go that far, you know, she's using it for school, mm-hmm. the $80 Carhartt toques, if I said that right. Yeah. The support of our patrons have been incredible. We have 13 patrons so far. We're definitely thankful for every one of them. We'll give individual shout outs like we do on the end of the episodes like this one. The cost of the trip is honestly, it's overwhelming. The trip will probably be a little bit more than we're budgeting for, but we'll see how it goes. Yes.
We'll have to get health insurance to cover if something happens to us on the trail so that we don't get a crazy hospital bill.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Probably in the next year, I'll make a Google sheet, you know, like a little spreadsheet of our projected pace and which towns we're potentially stopping in zeros or multiple zeros to rest. By doing that, we'll get a better idea of our total projected expenses with town food, supplies, possible lodging expenses, all that kind of stuff. Right now, I'm using Google Sheets to track our income and savings and expenses, and then a lot of those sheets are shared on the website.
It also breaks down what we spent already, how much we've saved, and our shortfall. We'll add that to the show notes.
You can see how much we've raised on Patreon also.
I can think of some ways to save money, which is to cancel your gym membership and take that money and invest it. Like just learning to jog outside and go for walks and work out at home with yoga on YouTube. And also you can get a kettlebell or some hand weights.
Eating out also, you know, you might as well focus on nutrition as well. Mentioning for a friend.
Yeah, you can't eat out.
No, it's hard. It's really hard.
But you got it.
I'm putting it on the record. I am going to try. It's February 9th. You haven't started. I'm going to try.
Come on, man. It's hard, only got 783 days.
COVID's got me down.
Okay. But other ways to make some money to put away is to get a side hustle, like a part-time job where the income goes directly to our savings. Or
I got that. Yeah.
Or post some flyers for cutting grass in the summer, or even dog walking, since it's really good because you're going out on a training walk, so might as well get paid for it.
Fear of running out of money is a fear, I guess.
Absolutely.
But all the things to be scared on the PCT, there are fears that are common for a new hiker, like running into a mother bear out with her cubs, or crossing paths with a mountain lion.
Did you see that video that went viral a couple months ago?
Crazy. They are very skittish, mm-hmm. extremely rare that would happen to you just like that. But as Halfway Anywhere talks about on his blog, that bears and mountain lions are the least of your worries. His fears should be yours also. So what are they? What do you think those fears would be? What do you think the number one fear on trail is, you know, besides starving to death on white plain rice?
Hey, leave my plain white rice alone. But I think my biggest fear for the trail would be definitely spiders. They are just so scary to be around.
I don't even know what kind of spiders they have in California. Like, do they have tarantulas or those types of with the big like juicy nut on the back?
God,
like,
I don't want to see those. I'm scared of even the tiniest ones.
I don't like spiders either. Halfway Anywhere says that probably the number one thing that people should really pay attention to and be scared of is lightning strikes, because lightning strikes may have you running for cover. Other things could be bees in Northern California and Oregon, because they may sting you as a reminder that you're walking through their territory. You got rattlesnakes also make a frequent appearance on the trail, and some will surprise and startle you. Could be unyielding bikers might run you over, or butt chafe might strike at any moment. But on the other hand, you know, running into bears isn't common. Mountain lions, even less so. He basically lists 17 things scarier than bears on the PCT and ranks lightning number one. He says bolts of electricity from the sky is the scariest thing on the Pacific Crest Trail, bar none. When it comes to things that just pucker your butthole, it won't matter if you're walking along an exposed ridge, fleeting down into a valley, or just sitting in your tent. All of these activities are terrifying in a thunderstorm. Do you have any, like, are you scared of thunder or lightning?
Not really, lightning. I haven't really been, like, outside when lightning was happening, but seeing it from my window, I guess it could be scary. But also, I remember you telling me that story that happened to some guy that you knew where it struck his toilet and melted it, which is yes. Kind of terrifying.
That's like Todd and Heath Johnson. Like, they live near where Nana and Granddad mm-hmm. live. Nobody was home, but lightning hit their bathroom window upstairs and melted their toilet.
Imagine.
When I was a little kid, mm-hmm. being up at the trailer,
yep.
And you never, like they always say, you never want to be on a boat because you are the highest thing on a lake.
Oh, yeah.
And so we would sit at our trailer and it would overlook the lake and you would see lightning bolts hit the lake.
Oh my gosh.
You never wanted to be in a boat. So if you were in a boat, and that's kind of like the PCT, like if you were on exposed ridge and there's no trees,
mm-hmm.
you're like the tallest thing. Like,
oh yeah.
And there's nowhere to run.
I know, you just kind of got to like lie on the ground and pray.
Yeah, and I don't know what you do.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
You know, and I don't know. Like if you're sitting in a tent, you'd be thinking like, oh, is there little metal rods? Like what are these rods made out of? Like you just think you're in this little antenna.
Yeah.
But according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's website, that's a mouthful, you know, you're not safe anywhere outside during a thunderstorm. You know, lightning strikes without prejudice. If you get caught in a storm in the middle of the wilderness, miles away from shelter, you know, you'll kind of know its fury. Kind of agree that lightning could be the number one thing because we're going to come, we'll definitely be in some storms.
Yeah.
Hopefully we see more storms than bears.
You want to see more storms than bears? I don't.
I don't want to see bears either. I don't even want to think about it. See, with lightning, you just don't know where it's going to strike. You know, you're always thinking, when is it going to hit? When is it going to hit? Is it going to hit that tree? Is it going to hit that? Is it going to startle me? You know, is it going to hit that tree and then bounce off and hit me? Will it knock me out? You just don't know. It's kind of like a horror film where you're just running from the man with the machete and the mask and he's slowly walking behind you and you're just terrified he's going to grab you immediately and kill you when he does. Chantel and myself will talk about some things to worry about more than bears and lions. Chantel, what's the first thing we should worry about?
Bees, or as I should call them, fat needle jelly beans. You will make a lot of new critter friends on the PCT, but perhaps the most hated and fearful of your newfound company will be the bees. Some people have never even been stung by a bee before hiking the PCT, and this trail could change that. In Northern California and parts of Oregon, the bee population is not so happy to have hikers around. Stopping for lunch in bee territory is a truly regrettable decision. Some hikers will eat many meals while walking as a result of being driven from lunch spots by the bees. The worst part, the bees wait to appear until you stop hiking. Cheeky bastards.
Have you ever been stung by a bee or a wasp?
I've never been stung by a bee, thankfully. I came close to it. Not really, but one landed on me once when I was like 8, and I've been traumatized ever since. But
a bee or a wasp?
Oh, I'm not sure. Maybe it was a wasp.
Yeah.
But not a bee. Have you?
You know, I was probably about 8 years old at that trailer at the lake, and there was one that landed on my finger, like a bee. It landed on my fingernail, and it stung me. Like, were those little hangnails, you know, like you ever get this
They're painful.
Little tiny miniature stick, and it just, it's so painful. Mm-hmm. So he stung me right there. So bees traditionally don't scare me. Wasp and hornets do. Those little guys are just little bastards. I'm going to have to Google the bees in Northern California to see if they're a little bit more pissed off than the ones we have in Ontario. Because to me, they're just little cross-eyed, flying, sugar-drunk ones that they just bounce into stuff. I feel like they're like half blind and they forgot their glasses at home.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'll go with another thing that you should worry about. It's Giardia.
I don't know what that is.
That's not the armed guards that are filling up the bank machines at night. A word that hikers learn quickly on the PCT, Giardia can take down even the most seasoned hiker. Whether or not you can properly pronounce it, the symptoms are the same. Diarrhea, flatulence, greasy stool that can float, difficult to diagnose when you're pooping in a hole, abdominal cramps, upset tummy, and nausea. You know, this experience is terrible when at home in bed, you know, with readily available toilet in your bathroom. But in the wilderness, the agony endured by those unfortunate enough to come down with this little parasite, I just wouldn't dare to imagine what it's like. What's another one on the list?
So there's the sun and dehydration. Drink a lot of water and shade yourself from the sun. Sounds simple enough, right? Wrong. That sounds like what sounds like two simple tasks can quickly become problematic and even deadly on the PCT. Triple digit temperatures, high altitudes, long waterless stretches, and extreme physical output of energy all make keeping hydrated a constant battle.
FML. I mean, I'm a sweating machine, and this kind of stuff, it scares me a little bit.
Yeah, knowing nothing about the statistics, I would bet that more hikers die from sunstroke and dehydration each year than from all the other items on this list combined. However, the sun is a silent killer, and I'm sure hikers take the dangers for granted, even if they feel like they are invincible and in their best shape of their lives.
Hey, I mean, one quick comment. I found a podcast from Trust the Trail. It's episode 173 here in my notes. And it's called The Debate on How to Hydrate. And I was kind of listening to it, kind of falling asleep. And it's very informative. So I'm going to go back and listen to it. But it really gets into more of the science about it. And I think it's worth it. It's worthy. So I'm going to put it in the show notes. It was on Spotify. I'm sure it's on everything else. And so here, I'll do one from the list. So here's another one. Poisonous plant. Yes, plants are scarier than animals.
No way. Plants? Do they have legs that chase you?
Only in your nightmares. Do 19-year-olds have nightmares?
I mean, not really. Speaking for myself, I used to have them when I was a kid, being scared of everything and like not knowing anything. But honestly, not anymore. I can't even remember my own dreams, to be honest. So, but I know I don't have nightmares. I haven't had one in like years.
I mean, if you did, I bet you your nightmares would be like being downtown Toronto and your phone is at 2% battery. You got off the subway, off it goes, and then you left your little $80 Carhartt toque on the seat as you watch it go, bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. The minute my phone says it's at 20%, I have a panic attack.
20%?
Oh, yeah. No, my phone is on low power mode 24/7. I'll be at 100% and my phone is on low power mode. I hate when my phone has low battery.
Do you have a brick thing?
I have 8.
What do you mean you got 8 of them? You carry 8 of them?
8 portable chargers.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Do you ever get confused and pick up like a little brick and start typing on it and realize it's not your phone?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
I mean, the PCTs come home to a number of poisonous plants that can kind of cripple hikers bold enough, you know, to ever come in contact with them. In Southern California, hikers battle with this, this infamous poodle dog bush. And no, you can't vape it. And then in the lower elevations of Northern California, hikers contend with a poison oak that sometimes it covers the trail. It's on both sides of the trail. So sure, avoiding, you know, a couple plants here and there is no problem. But when it's really on the trail and overgrown, it's hard to avoid them for miles, and it can kind of prove a little bit mentally draining, physically exhausting. You just got to accept that you might end up a little bit itchy. And as a reminder, don't touch your eyes or your secret hidden parts. What's another one?
Bicyclists. Like, despite bicycles being forbidden to enter the Pacific Crest Trail, some people believe themselves to be above the law. These people ignore the rules of bikes and endanger not only themselves, but hikers as well. Flying around corners and downhills, usually blasting music in their ears. Okay, Dad, why don't you talk about something that is big on you?
Oh, yeah, me. Okay, cover butt chafe. I see that's next on the list.
You have a lot to chafe.
You know, you might be right, but in the realm of conversation topics on the Pacific Crest Trail, it's sort of a social faux pas, and there's few and far between. That being said, chafe, or more specifically, butt chafe, is scarier than any bear or mountain lion could ever be. Hikers have witnessed many strong hikers being taken down on the trail as a result of bleeding butt cheeks. I'm sure, like, you're trying to, like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Butt chafe can strike at any moment. It's no matter how well that you think maybe you wiped, it can and will still find a way to ruin some of your hiking days for you. You know, the one and only cure for butt chafe: sleep. Butt chafe happens in other areas, like your inner thighs, parts where your skin rubs together with other, materials. Another thing quickly is mosquitoes. Mosquitoes themselves may not be deadly, but they can really make you want to kill yourself. Time in the Sierra, watching YouTube videos, watching people battle mosquitoes. You know, when you're out there, you just want to look at the beauty around you. You know, you want to have a dip in the mountain stream that you see, or a lake. Oftentimes, you're spent fleeing from little vicious swarms of mosquitoes. Fortunately, you can out hike the mosquito swarms, but as soon as you stop for water or to make camp, or God forbid, kind of you gotta poop, they're gonna be all over you. And I'm sure your hiking shirt is thin enough for them to bite right through. That's where you see people on YouTube wearing all their gear, their rain pants, their rain jacket. They're just wearing everything to kind of cover their entire body. So what's next on your side of the list?
Cars. Yes, cars. The PCT trail itself may be free of motor vehicles, but thanks to the occasional road walking adventure, the many highway crossings, and the number of hours hikers spend hitchhiking, there are plenty of opportunities to be struck by a vehicle. As ironic as being hit by a car while hiking the PCT is, it is a real possibility that hikers need to be aware of.
That would, imagine that. Like, why did he die? He was hiking the PCT. What did he die of? He got hit by a car.
Like, what? But what's next on your list, Papa Smurf?
Oh, this is a good one. The boogeyman. You're afraid of the dark now. You're afraid of spiders. You wait to your first night alone on trail. Matter how confident you are during the day, I'm wearing all my gear. I got my sun hat on. I got my sunglasses on. Drake is playing. Once nighttime comes, the trail belongs to the darkness. The boogeyman lurks at every campsite. No matter where you go or where you try to hide, he will find you. Fuck my life. I bet you Allison will probably pop out and wait to hike for me. That's an inside joke. Back to the boogeyman. He's responsible for the howling wind, the unnerving noises in the bushes, and the mysteriously disappearing tent stakes. Where do they go? Who took them? You know why? Because you're being watched all the time.
I want to know what else is going to watch you on the trail.
What?
I'll give you a hint. Danger sticks.
Oh shit, snakes. Yeah,
snakes.
I don't like snakes.
We know. Some hikers claim to not see any snakes on the trail, but this does not translate to them not being seen by any snakes.
I hate danger sticks. Absolutely afraid. Even little garter snakes. They will be in my mind walking the first 700 miles in the desert. We need to research to see if they're north on the trail too.
You're lucky to see some bears, and you're a celebrity if you spot a mountain lion.
I don't want to be mountain lion famous.
But you will be the minority if you don't encounter any poisonous snakes along your way. remember that they are just one of the many desert murderers.
That's why you're going to walk in front.
Great.
Okay, I'm going to cover the last one on the list, which is snow and ice. Hikers aim to enter the Sierra late, you know, to pass through Washington early to miss the early snowfalls. But the timing of many through hikes don't always line up with the weather. You know, remember hikers start some in March, early March, hiking at those times. You might find yourself some snow in the desert, and especially at the higher elevations, like towards Idlewild. It's also kind of known that there's snow and ice. And for those that try to summit Mount Jacinto, and then the higher elevations past Big Bear towards, you know, Mount Baden-Powell, you're going to come across snow and ice on the trail. Snow can make, you know, an unmarked trail junctions kind of impossible, kind of a mystery where you're kind of not sure which way to go. It can cover over footprints and even the entire trail. You know, waking up to a campsite covered in snow can be terrified itself. Without proper equipment, hikers become trapped out on the PCT, also making it very difficult to navigate the path ahead, you know, without footprints to follow. Maybe even a dead cell phone with the cold weather. You might not have the proper maps or bearings because you're so used to using gut hooks on your phone. Now comes the snow and ice on the path of the trail that can lead to dangerous hikes, with you being prepared to what are you going to do if you slip and fall? You know, will you be fast enough to react? Will you try to grab that tree, reach out for that branch, you know, try to stop yourself on that rock? Will you have an ice axe with you that early in the trail carrying that weight? You know, do you know how to self-arrest with it? Will you remember, as you're falling, will your mind be just paralyzed in the ride that's not really joyous or planned? This comes the next part. You know, we must not forget Trevor, who slipped and fell near Idlewild a year ago. His dad, Doug, has been on some podcasts talking about his son. And it's a must that I've listened to it. You have not listened to it. You know, you will. I'm going to put that link in the show notes. And because we're getting close to the, you know, the 1 year passing of his unfortunate death on the PCT, which is this March 27th. You know, here's a little excerpt from an article that was really, I just saw this the other day. It was on Alta Journal's website. The sun came out, the wind died almost completely, and it was perfect blue skies, Cody recalls. There was a light snow on everything, maybe a quarter of an inch, and it was a quite beautiful morning. But that also, I think, lulled us into a false sense of security. They climbed hard for 4 or 5 miles. Trevor, 6'3" and 200 pounds, bounded uphill easily as they headed towards the small town of Idlewild, where they would rest for a couple days, pick up their ice axes and micro spikes for their shoes that they've considered too heavy and unnecessary to pack thus far. "We're having a great time," says Cody, joking, carrying on about the night before, because the night was so terrible. At about 9:30 in the morning, they turned the corner onto Apache Peak, and the trail disappeared under what, at this higher altitude, was 2-3 feet of snow. They checked their maps. If they crossed this small little clearing and headed around another corner, they'd be fine. Janik, about 10 steps in front of the lead, and the lightest, made it across the dangerous slope to a stand of trees. But as Trevor crossed, he slipped on the ice, hidden beneath the top layer of powder. He stopped and tried to stabilize his footing. Then his feet went out from under him. He fell onto the snowy trail. For the briefest time, he managed to stay in place. Then suddenly, he began sliding feet first, gathering momentum until he hit a rock and began cartwheeling into an icy gorge. "I tried to get to him," says Cody, who was in the rear. There's really no way he could slow himself down. It was a funnel down a rocky chute once he started sliding. I started yelling. Janik turned around and he watched him go down the chute, tumbling off the rocks. Cody dropped his bag, hit his emergency button to call 911. They lost sight of Trevor. And then for 10 to 15 minutes, they shouted into the echoing silence, also trying his phone, which he didn't answer. Frightened that he might slide too, Cody yanked the straps off his backpack and tied his wrist to the nearest tree branch. Across the clearing, Janik pulled the length of cord from his gear and did the same. Then they waited to be rescued.
Wow. So sad and so important to make sure that safety comes first.
Absolutely. Journalist Louise Farr and the Riverside Mountain Rescue Unit volunteer Cameron Dickerson they basically joined All to Ask Live for a digital discussion that actually happened on February 3rd. And you can Google the article on Altona Live. It's called Accident on the Pacific Crest Trail. There's a YouTube video, I think it's about 40 minutes, where Louise, who wrote the article, which is such a great article, there's Doug on it, which is Trevor's dad, and then there's Cameron, which he's like in the search and rescue. But it's a touching story. It's just crazy. So, you know, when we get to the last mile marker that he hiked and kind of slipped and fell out of sight into a ravine, I want us to stop, you know, whether we have lunch, to sit down quietly and think. I think it's good that we should like listen to the podcast of his dad, Doug, mm-hmm. From the Trex podcast. And he talks about Trevor's story and background about Trevor wanting to do the PCT. And I think we should just have a break and just kind of think about like the safety on the trail ahead of us, because, you know, we always think about the Instagram moments, mm-hmm. and, you know, we might get to some sections that are kind of dangerous. And what Doug's trying to do right now, his dad, is to educate hikers to think about safety and be a little bit prepared. And, you know, maybe in the desert, people think of the deserts like, I don't need micro spikes for my shoes, or I don't need an ice axe. But when you get into that elevation, you know, you get snow and ice, and, you know, you don't want to be with like slippery mm-hmm. shoes. You know, so even when we try to tackle the summit of our first mountain, you know, which it will probably have snow and ice on it, being San Jacinto, you know, not to mention the Sierras, you know, past the 700 mile mark, when we get out of the desert, the conditions and elements on top of the grueling passage of that 170 mile-ish hike through the Sierras, this popular mountain range, it shouldn't be taken for granted. Let's highlight some of the dangers that have taken some of the lives on the trail so far. There's been about 13 confirmed deaths on the PCT. You know, some missing hikers that have not, you know, not been added to that amount of 13. Six of the 13 have fallen. Two have drowned crossing rivers in the Sierra in 2017 after a high snowfall year just made for raging waters with the snowmelt. Some of the river crossings shouldn't be taken lightly. You know, as a father, my fear, you know, river crossings, tripping over a rock, you tripping, falling in with a pack on your back, sort of being swept away is honestly what I worry about. Two hikers were hit by cars, two from heat stroke, which, you know, I think that number could be higher because mm-hmm. a lot of people day hike, you know, in the desert and stuff. So sometimes they're not known as like PCT hikers, but, mm-hmm. you know, everyday Joe's kind of like going out for the weekend. One person was struck by a falling tree that happened in 2019. So they built a little mile marker. He was just, you know, it was a German fellow, and he was just like, he was actually just on a bridge, and a tree fell and landed on him. Wow. Any mile marker that we come across that celebrates or reminds, you know, of the dangers of the trail, or maybe somebody has fallen, you know, we won't take it for granted. These 13 range from 1983 to last March 27th of 2020, you know, with Trevor near Apache Peak.
But exact figures are difficult to pin down. The number could be as high as 20. At least 5 hikers have disappeared and not been found. In fact, there have been 11 deaths on or near the trail in California, 8 of those in the desert section. We will talk more about the risks and the hazards of the trail as we learn about them, and talk about ways to prepare ourselves for situations that we could encounter.
We should. It's 12:38. I'm saying the time, right? We should wrap up this episode and shift our podcast to kind of prep to interview hikers. I mean, we've talked a lot in the second episode, this episode, and all the other episodes are, you know, they're not going to be all about these stats and facts. Mm-hmm. So we're going to shift gears going forward. We're going to listen to some stories, interview some other hikers just like us. You know, we appreciate you sticking with us for this long podcast, because yes. we're really making this for family and friends who want to know more about the trail. Because, you know, I'm always talking about it. Sometimes people, is it windy there? No, I'm just You gone outside for a vape?
Can you hear me breathe?
I can hear you breathe. But anyways, you know, we appreciate people sticking with us. If anybody has any questions about the trail, anything we went over, any questions for Chantel individually, questions to me individually, we would love to answer them privately or even on this podcast. You know, Chantel, why don't you finish this off? Like I said before, I think maybe this will be the tagline. Shut the lights off behind you when you leave. I don't know if you're going out tonight. No. Time to get to bed. I'll load the audio into Audacity. I'll probably end up and publish it. And I actually got to get rid of a lot of my ums that you didn't hear in episode 2. There was a lot of them. So why don't you finish it off?
Thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget to subscribe to hear our future podcast. Thank you for the 92 listeners we have already. Gear and links to things we talked about can be found in the show notes on our website at hikethepgc.ca in the podcast section. Special thanks to our sponsors, Triple Crown Coffee, Purple Rain Adventure Skirts, and MEC. Thanks to musical artist Trample by Turtles for the opening violin theme. And thanks to the musical artist Dispatch with the song Only the Wild Ones, which I'm starting to fall in love with. And finally, thank you to our Patreons who help support us in making this goal become a reality. We can't thank you guys enough. Like the last episode, we are going newest to oldest and highlight one person. Today we want to recognize Kirk Thompson from sunny California.
Okay, Lan, thank you. Mr. I think it's Pacific Coffee and Beach Tumblr, which was a long time ago. I hope you enjoyed the Triple Crown coffee that I sent you. I will get you some more. You're such a sweet soul, and your support helped Chantel over the past 3 months. It's greatly, greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm. It would actually be great to have dinner with you. I guess we'll land in LAX. So it'd be nice to have, I don't know, lunch or dinner with you when we land before we make our way down to San Diego. It's in about 780 days away, so I hope the world will be a little bit normal by then.
I'm sure we will have some California questions. My dad has shown me your Christmas cards, and you have such a beautiful family, especially sweet Molly. In closing, we hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any feedback or any questions about the hike, please use the link on our website on our contact page to record your questions for us. We would love to answer them in our next episode, which leads us to episode 4, where we introduce you to someone who will start off with us and hike the first month alongside us. They will join us on a podcast, so it'll be the 3 of us, which will be really fun. While we are together, we should go over some hiking terminology and hiker lingo to help you understand some of the phrases. Until next time, find us and follow us on socials as we prepare for the hardest thing we've ever tried to accomplish in our lives. We hope our trip inspires you to get outside, push yourself. It's always nice to get outside into nature and enjoy what is around us. Take care.
Absolutely. Take care.
Longer and longer stride. Skateboard affair with the primal triumph. And you cut off paint to pants. Charging down those craggy mountains with our thrift store friends. Who you find so, so in love with a fallen earth? Who you wake in the middle of the fallen night with the summer playing coy? On the warm night air, only the wild ones are the ones you can never catch. Stars are up now, no place to go.
True hiker and badass mom Mandy founded Purple Rain Adventure Skirts in 2014. Since then, the quality, design, and care she's put into skirts for men and women to get outside has made her business grow over time. She crafts performance apparel proudly made in Oregon that inspires freedom of adventure without compromised style or function. Remember to shop small and support the creator that is supporting the hiking community with kilts and skirts to make you feel comfortable putting in all those miles. We are proud to have her as a sponsor on this podcast,
I'm personally excited to sport one on our quest on the Pacific Crest Trail while my daughter rocks hers.